T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
95.7 The Game presents Warriors World Radio. Featuring the one and only Andy Liu.
Grow up. Yeah, you grow up.
And Sam Esfandiari.
So, who are you? Why do I gotta talk to you?
This is Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game.
Sam. It's our last show this summer. We're done. That's it. That's it.
I don't know about that, Andy.
3-1. Steph Curry. Terrible game 4. Klay Thompson gutted it out. Everybody else didn't show up. Warriors down. They got 2 road games that they would have to win the series, Sam. I'm ready to go home. It's like 90 degrees outside.
Yeah. By the way, it needs to not be this hot in San Francisco. The whole reason people live here is for it to not be this hot.
Nobody asked for this. You want to live in this weather, you go to San Jose. Okay. Nobody asked for this humidity. Walking outside, so I don't even sweat. Got like sand in my arm. I don't even know how. Like, this is ridiculous.
I think we're just letting the listeners know how spoiled we are living here. If you want to call into the show, 888-957-9570, or you can text the Chilton Autobody text line 95795, or tweet us using the hashtag Warriors World Radio.
All right. We got an amazing show coming on, Sam. We got the Guru Johnson at 7:15, Darryl, and then we got everybody's favorite, Butcher Boy, at 8:15. But go ahead.
Losing 2 in a row at Oracle. I can't help but think, what if they didn't rest Klay game 3?
Like, you think they win that game? Because he was amazing.
I think we have to come to grips with the fact that this Toronto team is very good. The idea that the Warriors can handle them without KD, it's not really playing out that way. And you can play into a bunch of circumstances, Klay going down, Looney going down.
Iguodala does not look good or healthy.
And we can go down the line, but end of the day, this team is built to have KD in the lineup, especially against better teams. He's not there right now. With that said, I can't help but wonder, you know, if they had Klay in game 3, if they get 2 shots at it, would they not have been able to pull one of those out?
I mean, they kind of got smacked in game 3. I don't think it was that close.
They did, but like the lineups they were using in game 3. I mean, I guess where you can second guess is, did they really need to play Steph 45 minutes in a game that they never really had a shot at there? Like, it seemed like they had a shot at it early on. And then, you know, by the second half, they were down 10 the whole way.
Yeah. The first 5 minutes of game 3, you can just see. This team that's a dynasty, this team that's like the greatest offense of all time, and, you know, defense is amazing. It's created the switchability that allows teams to be versatile, and they were run over by Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet. They're getting run over by Fred VanVleet. Kyle Lowry.
Danny Green could not miss a shot. And then so that takes us to game 4, where I thought Klay was amazing. I thought Steph looked tired. And that's why I keep going back to game 3. Does Steph was short on almost all his jumpers, and that'll happen time to time, but it's hard for me not to look at that and think, man, if he didn't play 45 minutes with McKinney, Quinn Cook, and kind of the infirmary lineup, maybe does he have more legs? Maybe do they have a better chance?
Yeah, he was short. He was also like doing that weird half pump fake where he's open, but he's just not shooting the ball like the first year they were in the playoffs, or the first championship run where he's doing that against the Grizzlies, down 2-1. They don't look like a team that's going to come back at all, at all. And you can say that a couple years ago. I think they try to compare themselves in that series against the Oklahoma City Thunder where they were blown out in game 4.
Those are probably the 2 worst games I've seen the Warriors play
on the road
during this 5-year run. Yeah, the 2 in Oklahoma, because they weren't just beat. They were thoroughly dominated in a way that, like, I still can't think of any games where they've been dominated.
Not in the postseason.
like that.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, I'm not counting a random Tuesday in January. Yeah. Utah's just really hot against them. Yeah.
I think the Cavs had a couple like crazy games where they made like 30 threes, right?
But,
like,
absolutely.
Those don't really count because the Thunder made them look small, right? And the Raptors, I think, are doing like a facsimile of that. You know, it's the problem. The Warriors are not that good anymore. Like, they're just – they're not that as good as they were without Kevin Durant. And that's why – you know, they're not losing by 20 in these games, but you have the same feeling of, well, they don't really have a chance. Like, do you – Sam, do you really think they had a chance of winning Game 3 and Game 4? Like, maybe in a moment or two, but I don't think outside of that they really had a chance.
Without KD, they would have needed both Steph and Klay to go off in the same game. Or – the defense to be a lot better. And to me, that's the biggest difference from the 2019 Warriors and those pre-Kevin Durant Warriors. Those pre-Kevin Durant Warriors were the best defensive team in the NBA. This team, they're a good defensive team. They're not the best defensive team in the NBA. They didn't make anything uncomfortable for Kawhi. Kawhi got what he wanted. Quite frankly, Toronto got what they wanted. Yeah, they had some good defensive spurts, but this isn't the team that could just kind of lock you up when they needed to.
Yeah, he couldn't stop a Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol pick and roll. I mean, like, I mean, come on.
And we should say, I mean, it's not the same team as before. All that said, there is reason to have some optimism, Andy, because a certain someone may be coming back for Game 5.
Per sources?
And that's a trump card. You know, that's a far better adjustment than we'll run more pick and roll. Let's just put the best player in the NBA back in. Steve Kerr on the pregame.
He's going to practice with us today, and he'll get some extra work in with some of our younger players, and we'll gauge it from there. What he's going to do today, he hasn't done. So he's doing more today, and then we'll know more after that.
So that was from earlier today. Since then, Chams Charania from The Athletic reports he's questionable for tomorrow. What that means, anyone's guess. But this is better than what we've heard the last month where he'd essentially be ruled out the day before a game. Like, I'm getting the impression he's going to at least try to give it a go. Will he be healthy?
Yeah,
will he be KD? Not sure. But it sounds like he's probably going to try to give it a go.
Yeah, he's going to play. We think. But anything's better than Alphonso McKinney, Sam. Anything is better than Jonas Jerebko. Quinn Cook had about 16,000 open shots in Game 4 and missed all of them. Anything is better than watching DeMarcus Cousins or Jordan Bell trying to stop a pick and roll again. Kevon Looney has a fractured collarbone. Okay.
Technically, it's the cartilage. The specificity of these injuries is just more and more getting explained. Like, I'm like, I'm not sure I understand what they're talking about anymore.
Producer Carl says Draymond didn't even know what happened to Looney. So nobody knows. Nobody knows because he was supposed to be out for the series.
I mean, we all saw the clip. That was a serious running back type play from Kawhi. But in terms of what's actually injured, I don't know. It sounds really painful, but I'm still having a hard time understanding what it is.
I think like this is accumulation. You remember that Miami Heat team where they just got blown, they got the doors blown off of them by the Spurs in that back-to-back?
In 2014?
Yeah, the last year of that run. I guess we didn't really see this coming because, you know, as long as you have Steph and KD and Klay, they'll be fine because they're more talented than that Heat team, you could say. But with those guys out, it's obvious. It's obvious that they're tired, they're injured, they're outplayed, out-talented. Like, there's really nothing they can do unless number 35 comes back. That's really about it, Sam. It's panic hours over here at Warriors World Radio.
Do you think someone's going to come back?
What was that?
That was the Klay laugh from today. You didn't hear that?
No. Was that like his version of Kawhi? That was disturbing.
Yeah, kind of. Let me play the full sound for you. Someone's asking Klay about the Warriors, and he's talking about the need to be resilient.
We all know about Game 6, Klay. But there might not be a Game 6. Ooh. Are we going to see a Game 5 Klay instead now?
You're going to see me, and you're going to see me being myself, and you're just going to see a resilient Warrior team.
Is there anyone funnier than Klay Thompson? I mean, maybe Kawhi Leonard. We got a real podium battle between Klay and Kawhi. It might be the most under-talked about storyline of this finals.
Klay had a game. Klay had a big Game 4. He pulled out the... I don't know if we can say it on air, Carl. He pulled out the dance.
The Sam Cassell?
The Sam Cassell dance. Yeah,
the
Sam Cassell did the onions. Yeah, right. He pulled out that dance, which was fantastic. They look good, but it also was at the beginning of game four where DeMarcus Cousins throwing the ball around. He can't play. After a big game two, and honestly, he shouldn't be playing. He just got a torn quad, coming back from a torn Achilles. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad for the Warriors.
And quite frankly, with Boogie, we always knew these type of matchups against teams that run a lot of pick and roll was not going to be the best matchup for him before the injuries. When he had that second injury in the Clippers game, now it's just kind of like you have to give the guy a lot of credit for trying to play through it, but I don't see how that gets better.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do about that? It's not his fault, right? There's really, from an adjustments perspective, there's really nothing the Warriors can do, I don't think, right? We'll get into it. We'll get into nitty-gritty here. We've got Daryl, the Guru Johnson on the other side, host 95.7 The Game.
I need a mimosa.
Mimosa sounds pretty good right now. Yeah, I could be sitting in Dolores Park.
Yeah, we got the Butcher Boy Joe Shasky coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Is he a mimosa guy? I doubt he's a mimosa guy. Shasky seems like
definitely a Red Bull and vodka kind of guy.
A Red Bull and vodka kind of guy. Anyway, we've got those guys coming up in the next hour. We'll get to the phones here after the break. Warriors World Radio, Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Warriors World Radio here. Sam Esfandiari, Andy Liu. Andy, so what do you want to see from KD in the next game?
Come out to this song?
Yeah.
It'd be nice. You know what? Sometimes I don't think my mic is on. But you know what I want to see? I just want to see him play. I think Kevin Durant has spent a lot of time on the sidelines contemplating, you know, if Warriors fans want him here, right? He's on Twitter a lot. He's on Instagram a lot. And I think he cares about that. Obviously, I think everybody knows that at this point. He said it even. So I would like him to have a chance to bring the Warriors back, right? Sam, you remember like 2 weeks ago when the Warriors beat the Blazers, when they swept the Blazers and, you know, the dumbest people on media were saying, like, hey, they don't need KD to win the championship. They don't need KD to do this. They don't need that. They don't need that. Like,
That was such a straw man.
Terrible.
Like, no one was saying that. And then it leads every talk show. Do they even need him?
Nobody was saying that. No one. No Warriors fan was saying that. Neither you or I were saying that. The players definitely didn't say that.
Every player, first thing was, we need him back. He's our best player.
Yeah. But when it becomes kind of like when it goes on all these shows that lead, you know, ESPN or First Take, whatever it is, every single day, then it gets to him. And I think this is his chance. This is as close, you know, obviously you could be down 3-0, but this is as close to Warriors, you know, can be to getting knocked out of the playoffs, and it's on the greatest stage, it's the finals. So he has a chance to come out there. No matter what he does, if the Warriors come back from this 3-1 deficit, even if he averages like 10 points, I would think that's the difference in the series. I'm not saying he's finals MVP or anything, but I think he would love that. If that makes him happy.
He's not going to come back and only average 10 points. We both know
No?
That.
No?
It's too easy for him to walk into 20. But no, I think your point's taken. If he is able to go in game five and they're able to turn the series around, get it to seven, maybe even win, it's hard not to kind of give him the whole fairy tale ending, the whole storybook thing.
Whoa. Storybook ending. Like KD's gone next season ending.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying, is there not a better way to kind of endear yourself and kind of just to be able to come
Oracle
back from
ending.
Injury? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got a Oracle ending. That'd be nice. I mean, it didn't seem like game four was that great. Let's take four more mic. We'll get four more mic in here real quick before Guru comes on. Because he wants to talk about kind of Oracle and Chase Center. So let's get to this. Real fast. Mike, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great, man. I want to talk about these soft-ass East Bay Warrior fans, man. First of all, the Warriors is moving to San Francisco. They not moving to Vegas. They not moving to Oklahoma. You know what I mean? I don't understand what people meant for. What you meant for? You don't know how to navigate your way to San Francisco? You don't know how to navigate your way here? Like, that's so soft to be crying about, oh, the Warriors are moving to San Francisco. I bet you people in Seattle would like it if the Seattle Supersonics would have moved to SeaTac or to Tacoma, Washington. They wouldn't have no ibbles or qualms about that. So all these Warrior fans out here, if the Warriors playing in Pinole, I love the Warriors. Just because they move it to San Francisco, that has nothing, no bearing on anything. Stop letting the city of Frisco and your stereotypes about it act like we can't host or we don't know how to be fans to a sports team, i.e. the Niners in the 90s, i.e. the Giants in the last 5-6 years. Thank y'all. Y'all have a nice day. Well, we coming back, too. We coming back from 3-1. Watch.
Ooh. Thank you, Fillmore Mike.
If they in Pinole.
Andy, you ready to make the trek to Pinole to watch Warrior games?
I need that cut, by the way. I would never be in Pinole. But I need that cut.
Pinole's a nice area. I do agree with his point. As long as they stay in the Bay Area, everything else, it's a little petty to be worried about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm Sunset Andy, so, you know, I'm all about this move.
You have a little bit of a homer bias.
Yeah, I probably can't speak to it as much. I'm excited to see Chase Center. So I'm excited because I live and I work here, so I can go to all the games. But we could probably get into this. I mean, we'll get into this after. Maybe Guru has thoughts on this. Guru, are you on? Can you hear us?
Sam and Andy, what's up, baby?
What's up, Guru?
Or should I say Andy and Sam? I know a lot of people in radio have ego, so I'm going to say Sam and Andy and Sam, and I'm covered.
Guru, I'm in the driver's seat here, so it's okay. Andy and Andy as far as they care, as far as they know. Andy and Lou.
What's up, fellas?
Good. How are you? How you doing? How you feeling about this series? Or how you feeling about this weather? Let's start with that.
Listen. I'm so excited. I'm in the lab right now watching game five. I'm watching, game four. And it seems to me that there's a narrative out there that the Raptors have just Mike Tyson the Warriors every game. And late in the third quarter, middle third quarter, Friday, the Warriors had a six-point lead. So my point to answer that question is I am nervous. But what superseded that nerve is what's happening today with this cryptic news, because that's how I'm digesting it, with Kevin Durant. Before, I was like, you know what? He's hurt. It's all good. A band of brothers. Everybody's on the same page. And now you're getting reports, like Ewoks on Star Wars. They're coming out of everywhere about, are the Warrior players mad or do they think he can go? The coach thinks he can go. And fellas, he practiced today. Then I'm like, okay, he may be there tomorrow night, maybe not. Then I hear reports. I'm reading on Twitter. I need to stay off. Oh, he didn't practice but a little bit. He was the first one to leave. So I asked you two to talk me off the ledge. I don't know what to think, but the Warriors, to me, until I see it and the game has 0 seconds on the clock, they got a chance, but I don't know what Warrior team we're going to see, one with 35 or one without.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, too. We spent the last 10 minutes panicking, me and Sam, but here's the thing. Game five against Houston, game six against Houston, they showed that they still got, you know, the heart of a champion, I guess you could say, right? Or the Sam Cassell dance of a champion. But they did that against Portland. They went down about 15-18 every game, and they came back. I just think that they may be out of gas here, but there's something to be said about having Kevin Durant come back, who Sam says every 5 seconds is the best player in the world, and having that kind of jumpstart your team. Can you imagine, right, Guru? Think about this, right? This is a Toronto team that's played poised. They've played great. It's all been amazing. It's like a fairy tale story, whatever. But what if they lose game five at home, right? They lose game five at home, and then all of a sudden they're down 10 at Oracle in game six. Right. And all of a sudden now we're talking about a game seven. It's kind of like the Warriors when they were up 3-1 and then they choked that lead away because, well, they had a couple of suspensions and injuries. Now the Warriors on the other side of that, where they get that one guy back who's pretty good.
Listen, you are spot on. And I'm going to tell you two a secret about me. I always wanted to write Hollywood movies. And as you could tell, I failed. I always wanted that big movie project. And I thought what the Warriors did when Kevin Durant got hurt and they had to play Portland without him, I thought that was the movie, the title, the best motion picture all season long in the NBA. Is Steph and the Warriors band together and they won an NBA title without Kevin Durant, who was playing arguably his best basketball. And then out of nowhere, the Raptors showed up. And now I'm like, okay, they're down 3-1. Nobody's giving them a chance. And my point, fellas, here's another movie script. If Durant somehow could play tomorrow, could you imagine the Raptors? This is new to them. They don't know what it's like to play a clinching game for NBA Finals championship. If Durant is out there, the Hannibal Lecter, the mental game to me shifts all to the Warriors. And yeah, the talk has to beat them in Toronto. But if they did, fellas. And then you come back to Oracle, not Oracle. And then it's a game seven. I mean, this would be something out of Hollywood is all that I'm saying. Maybe I need to take a cold shower. But I can taste it. But it's all about, will Durant be ready? Will he be there?
Joining us on the guest pad or dial pad guest line, Daryl the Guru Johnson. Guru, I'm curious. We don't know if KD is going to play tomorrow. I think Andy and I are both kind of cautiously optimistic. He's going to give it a go. Who in the Warriors are you looking for to really get him going, kind of ignite him, be the one to really step up in game five?
It's Draymond Green, and it's got to be Draymond Green. And I'm going to tell you why I'm a little nervous, if you can't tell, is this Toronto team looks like OKC 2.0 from 3-4 years ago. They got length. They're bothering Steph Curry and Klay. There's no room. I was in the house last game, and they are playing defense, and I tip my cap to them. But we're not seeing the Magic Johnson, Draymond Green. And, again, that's because the Raptors, you know, they're trying to push the pace even when they make a bucket, but they're getting back on defense. They're taller than Draymond. So to answer your question to me, is Dre goes – so do the Warriors against the Raptors. We've seen Steph's heroics not work. It got him close. So Draymond somehow has to just wheel his way and just put his stamp on this game, fellas. But the more I think about it, I see Siakam down there. I see Gasol. You know, I'm like, how's he going to do it? But he's got to be the one. And I hope the Warrior coaches are in the lab, you know, taking the input of the players to where they can implement something or find something on film that they haven't tried to exploit as of yet. But again, to make my long answer short, it's Draymond Green.
Yeah, Draymond hasn't. He played great against Portland, but this is a series, like you just said, Guru, against just like when it was against the Thunder when he was swallowed up most of the series by Kevin Durant. You know, it's looking kind of like it. By the way, the text line's hilarious. 510, why this caller sound like Guru? 2 minutes later, LOL.
Not to disappoint.
I think he knows. Well, okay, so here's what I'm thinking, because you talk about adjustments and you talk about what the coaching staff could do. As, you know, myself and Sam, the greatest Steph fans, Steph stands that you can find, a lot of the times he finds the perfect balance between, hey, give me the rock, I'm going to go get 30, right? He did that in game three. He got 47. Sometimes he says, okay, I'm going to listen to Steve Kerr. I'm going to play more off the ball. And now that usage rate goes down, but it kind of makes everyone else around him a lot better. What's your adjustment in game five? Because this is do or die now, right? This is do or die, and both sides work. But Steph has got to find a way to play. You know, he's got to do something other than just kind of be okay standing off the ball in, like he did in game four. So, like, if you were Steph, what can you do here to kind of regain that footing on offense?
Well, you're getting an extra day rest, which I saw him. He looked gassed, man, when he dropped the 47. And you had 24 hours to get ready for a game Friday. And now you got an extra 24 hours. And I'm just hoping he takes his vitamins, his fluids. But if it were me, fellas, I'm starting, and you can laugh, I'm starting Quinn Cook. I'm starting Quinn Cook, and I got Steph Curry at the two, and we're going down blazing with the Splash Brothers, Clay and Steph. And the reason I bring up Quinn Cook's name is sometimes the best defense is your offense. And right now the Warriors are struggling on the defensive end, so try to capitalize with Quinn Cook at the point guard position. I mean, Livingston got a start, and the Warriors, you know, Kerr looked like Wild Coyote because, to me, I think Livingston went 1-4. He just wasn't assertive enough. And put Quinn Cook in there, and let Steph and Clay, the Splash Brothers, go berserk. And if you lose, you look at this five-year run, you got nothing to be ashamed about. But my point is, forget the ball responsibility. Have somebody in Quinn who I trust. Yeah, it's going to be a tall task, but have him get those guys going. And then if all else fails, I just envision Quinn not scared to step up in the moment. When Kerr has been putting Cook in, to me, he's one of those guys. If you don't go at him at the right, if you don't put him in the game at the right time, he's done. You got to make him feel a part, like he's a part of the game plan. And I believe when he gets in early, you know, he steps up. So that's what I would like to see tomorrow. Quinn Cook start if Durant can't go, and just go down with the Splash Brothers.
You know, Guru, I'm curious. You were saying to Andy a couple minutes ago, this Raptor team's kind of reminding you of those Thunder in 2016 with Westbrook, Ibaka, KD, and just how big and physical and long they are. Where do you rank these Raptor teams against the teams the Warriors have had to play in this last 5 years? Are they as good as those Cavs teams? Are they as good as the Thunder? I mean, where do they rank among all the teams the Warriors had to go through over the last 5 years?
And you're going to call – that's a great question. You're going to call me prisoner in a moment, fellas, but I'm ready to put them up there with the LeBron team that lost Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love in that series and still, I believe, lost in six. So, to me, they are as good as any LeBron James team that the Warriors have faced in the finals. And the reason I say that is Kawhi Leonard, the guy who is hampered, dealing with Lord knows what, but has just been LeBron James-esque or even better because he, no free throw issues, shot clock going down, super body control, just cool under pressure. And just to watch what I believe the Raptor supporting cast feed off what Kawhi Leonard's doing on what I think is one leg is incredible. But when I watch that defense in person, I'm like, oh, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers in their prime. Oh, this is the Baltimore Ravens defense in their prime. That's what I'm getting from this Raptor team. And then they got the offense to go with it and the length that you talk about. So to answer your question, they're up there with the LeBron Cleveland Cavaliers. Not that came back from 3-1, because that's still Flukeville to me. It's when I think LeBron averaged like 35 points a game,
yeah,
and they lost 4-2 Cleveland. So I'm ready to put Toronto up there, and they're not going anywhere if Leonard, you know, happens to re-sign with them.
Well, so let's talk about Durant, right? What do you think this is? What happens if he does play? And, you know, obviously he looks hurt, right? And he's out there struggling. They do lose game 5 or game 6 or game 7, whatever it is. What do you think this means for his legacy, though? And I mean this from a, is he happy about it? Does that mean he could leave? Or does he say, hey, I'm going to want to come back. I'm going to want to run this back, you know, and get revenge. Next year I'll be healthy. We're not going to lose when I'm healthy. What's kind of the thought process if you're KD there? Because I think that could spin kind of his decision process this summer.
We know he cares about what people think about him, regular Joe's, social media, and he's been a Warrior. But I feel like, fellas, we're in the cafeteria, and somehow Kevin Durant is feeling peer pressure in regard to people questioning, can he go? And these anonymous reports now that it may be the players or the training staff, everybody's dumbfounded as why he's not playing. I think we're going to see him out there tomorrow. I really do. And I think the motivating factor is, yeah, he wants to help his team three-peat. But if it's all said and done, he goes out there and he's not 100%, the Warriors lose. I just think the John Wayne angle of respect, people would respect him. Not that they don't now, fellas, but this injury, it couldn't happen to any other super athlete other than Durant. It's a perfect – like hurdle for something that shouldn't be a hurdle, because I believe the dude's really hurt and now he's getting questioned. So to me, if he doesn't go tomorrow and he loses, I feel like the fan base will be split. Some will be angered. Some will blame him that you were just, you know, sandbagging for free agency, which I don't believe. But just to see 35 in a Warrior uniform, knowing this could be the last four quarters of the Golden State Warriors season and his tenure, I think he would just, and it may mean nothing at the end of the day to him, but he would gain major props from the NBA world.
Yeah, that's and that's great because that's what he's like. He was happy, KD. That was something he was happy. Where you know against Houston, where they called him the best, you know, in the world, and that's who he was going to be. That he finally got that acclaim, and then all of a sudden that calf gave away or whatever it was. So, Guru, we'll get you out of here with one more. All right, what do you think is going to happen rest of the series if you had a pen and paper and you had to write this, you know, send this to, I don't know, Disney Studios, Pixar, whatever it is. If you got to send it through, what's your prediction?
Here I go, fellas, and, you know, I've made wrong ones before. I know y'all up against it. Kevin Durant plays tomorrow. I really, truly mean this. And the Warriors win three in a row, and they win, and they three-peat. That's what I feel. You know, I'm in the lab. I feel that that's going to happen. Now, real quick, if Durant doesn't show up tomorrow, the Warriors give a valiant effort, but it's just not enough. And Toronto and Drake, they party in front of the nation.
Well, we'll go party with him. That's okay with me.
Turn it up.
I love that. Guru, man, I appreciate you coming on. We got to have you on the next time. We can't do Bonte no more, so it's just going to be you instead of Bonte or Butcher Boy.
Yeah. All right, fellas, have a good rest of the show.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Are you going to go party with Drake?
I've been a Drake fan since I was in high school. He's a great artist. Do I like him as a Raptor fan? No, but I like him as a musician. He's extremely talented, but I will definitely skip the song if I don't like it. And if it's one of his soft, you know, R&B songs, I'm going to skip it because I'm in kill mode right now.
We need this series to go on just so we can get at least three more Clay podium quotes. He's been giving us at least one just on the money, got to play it back quote every podium.
You're crushing on the board op. Like, is it a board op? What do you call that thing? He's just Sam's just smiling ear to ear over here. Soundboard. He's just crushing it.
But you know what else is unfair? Life is unfair.
Yeah, from Andy. A great caller a few weeks ago. By the way, we had Guru on the dial pad. So let me do a read real quick. Dial pad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across your existing devices. They got that paper all the way on the other side. I could barely see it, but we're good.
I think you might need to.
Uh-oh, to welcome to glasses. Big Baller Zone.
Guru did hit on one thing that we haven't really talked about, and that's Kawhi Leonard. Do we need to go through what he's doing this series? In my opinion, that third quarter performance from him was as impressive a kind of star takeover performance I've seen from anyone outside of Steph, LeBron, or KD in the last like decade.
Yeah, we watched Kawhi go Steph on the Warriors, right? Like we watched him do what Steph does to other teams.
And it was in his own Kawhi way. It was methodical, just got to his spots as you know, in his own time, took his time and just kept hitting over and over again. And they had no answer for him.
And it's not like he looks healthy. I mean, he's fine. He's playing well, but he's not looking like you know, Kawhi Leonard. And, like, he may never look like that Kawhi Leonard again because I think they were saying it's the quad or it's the knee. If it's the quad, that's not great because it's a couple of years now. But, yeah, I mean, that might not be who he is. Maybe he's just this type of player now, and the Warriors can't do anything about it. You know what I think, though? I think if Kevin Durant does come back, that's another guy that they can throw on him because the issue right now is they don't have Fonzo McKinney on him, Sam. Like, man, like, even if you're not Kawhi, like, let's say you're Paul George. Right, who's a couple notches below Kawhi.
Right.
He's probably doing the same before. Like, to take nothing away from Kawhi Leonard, this is Alfonso McKinney we're talking about. Like, this is not – he's not crushing against a healthy Iguodala or Kevin Durant. So yeah. I'm impressed, but not
– That said, I mean, it's been primarily Iguodala and Clay on him. Obviously, there's been a little McKinney mixed in there, and, you know
– We got locked just down kinda, by Clay in game two.
You're just kind of hoping it it works out for you in those McKinney minutes. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Clay had some success against him in game two, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's just the Warriors, through this five-year run, who have pretty much had the enormous amount of wings, right? Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Harrison Barnes even, KD when after that, Draymond Green, obviously. They just had guys that they could throw at you.
And they're all, at worst, good starters.
Yep.
If not, like, even Sean Livingston, a couple of years ago, Sean Livingston's was definitely an above-average defender.
And for the first time now, we're seeing you know a team without wings, and they've got to play Cousins. They've got to play Looney. They've got to play Andrew Bogut. Yeah. Quinn Cook, right? You're not even bigs. They got to play these small guys who they'll never play in a playoff series. Sean Livingston doesn't look like he can. I mean, that's as far as he can go. He's on his last legs, literally. He's on his last legs. He's done after the series. So it's just not the same Warriors. These are not the same Warriors. This is why they got Kevin Durant. And when you don't have that guy that you pushed all your chips in to get, this is what it looks like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as you're saying, Livingston's starting to look like he's 34. Iguodala's 35. I actually think Iguodala's had a really impressive playoffs considering everything, but there's a ceiling to how much you can expect out of a guy at his age with kind of the knee and the back issue and whatever it may be. And they really need him to be like 2014, 2015 Iguodala. And I don't think that's a fair ask.
Even like Houston Rockets Iguodala. Like, we don't need all of the game six Iguodala where he hit 5 threes. It's not going to happen. But like maybe 2 or 3, you know, big ones in the beginning of the game to kind of get the team settled, right? Something like that and start a second half maybe. But that's just not there. It's just not there right now.
And that's been the other story of this series. Outside of Steph and Clay, no one could hit an outside jumper. You mentioned Iguodala, 4 of 17 from 3 over the four games this series. Draymond, 2 of 11. I mean, they're obviously not getting any sort of outside shooting from the center position, you know, from Looney, from Bogut. Cousins took a couple shots, but Cousins is clearly dealing with an injury, and who knows how many minutes he can even stay on the floor. I mean, they're making it really easy for the Raptors to overload Steph and Clay, and you know, they're still getting a bunch of shots because they're two of the best shooters of all time, but it's a lot easier to guard them when you don't have to worry about anyone else hitting a shot.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, Sam. You just got to go with more Jacob Evans. You know, the people need more Jacob Evans. By the way, before we go to break, somebody asked in the 925, or wherever that is, Sam, are you related to the poker pro Antonio Esfandiari?
I am not.
How often do you get that?
Once every 3 days. There's just not that many well-known Esfandiaris out there in the general American population. And, I mean, he's a big-time poker guy.
He grew up here, too, in San Francisco, I believe.
San Jose.
San Jose, where it's 120 degrees and humid.
Kind of like San Francisco right now.
Anyway, all right, so we're going to come back after the break. We'll get to the calls. If you want to dial in, 888-957-9570. Text into the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. And we're Warriors World Radio. Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. We'll be right back.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Warriors World Radio here, Sam Esfandiari. Andy, I think producer Wes has by far the best music of anyone we've had on the board.
I like Wes. Wes is cool. Good
he's
guy.
He's not your number one?
Do I hear Porter Robinson, Sam? Is that what I hear?
And he wants a very specific type of producer. He's like he's like the Russell Westbrook of hosts here. He wants to run his specific play over and over again. No room for deviation. No room for improvising.
I don't even want to come in. Sometimes I just tell Carl, producer Carl, just go in and just say, you know what? I'm just not going to show up this week. if you don't get me some Avicii, I'm just not going to walk in. That's it. It's a show. So we're only going for 1 hour now.
If you want to join the show, 888-957-9570. I saw someone from the 415 texted in saying they had an issue getting through. Keep calling. Keep trying again. That issue should be fixed. Or you can text into the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Andy, I got a question for you. So right now, the report is KD is questionable. First, let me start with this. Can the Warriors come back if KD doesn't play?
Win three in a row if KD doesn't play a single game?
Sure. Let's start with game five.
Okay. I think they can win game five if KD doesn't play. I think there's almost zero chance that they could win three in a row against this Toronto team playing like this without Kevin Durant coming back.
I'd agree with you. They can win any particular game. Winning three in a row without him's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, no. They've dug themselves into a hole where they almost have to play perfect. Because, you know, when we made series predictions, you know, I was less worried than you. And the primary reason was I just didn't think Toronto could play this well in the finals. That is, and I've been wrong.
And we both were under the impression he'd be back around game three, game four. I thought it'd be a 1-1, 2-1 type series when he came back. So they'd have, even if he came back and they went through some growing pains, you know, they still had an extra game. Now, I mean, they're up against the wall. They need to be perfect.
Yeah, they need to be perfect. And I thought, you know, I mean, maybe even the Warriors thought. There were articles that were coming out on The Athletic by people that are very in tune with the Warriors that, you know, maybe the players thought that he'd be back by game three or game four latest. And I think, you know, that's part of the reason why you could see that they're a little frustrated. And I don't think it's KD's fault. I don't. It's just, if you can't play, you can't play. You just can't play. And
he's always going to have more pressure on him because he's the best player on the team. Him and Steph are always going to have a little more pressure because, yeah. I mean, no one gets, I mean, what Looney did, amazing, really gutsy performance with the whole collarbone, chest injury, wherever it may be. But he doesn't have the same responsibility that, you know, a Kevin Durant does.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's got to come back on that sore calf or grade 2 tear calf, whatever it is, and guard Kevin Durant. And then have to score 25 points.
You know, that actually gives me, that's a question for you. So let's say we both agree they're not going to win 3 in a row without KD playing a role in the series. So let's say KD does come back. I don't think either of us expect him to be fully healthy. How much do they need from KD to really have a chance, Andy? Like, are we talking about they just need him to give them solid minutes, hit some open shots, play some defense, rebound, not try to take over, but basically, you know, be better than McKinney, Quinn Cook, and kind of the guys they really don't want to be playing 30 minutes a game? Or do they need him to be MVP, Finals MVP, one of the greatest players of all time?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
Do they need him to be that guy, or do they need something in the middle?
I mean, I think it's something in the middle. I mean, I think they don't need They don't need MVP Kevin Durant to win this
series. Nice, though.
It'd be nice. I also think there's no chance, right? I think you and I agree. There's no chance that's happening. I don't think he's coming out tomorrow. He's dropping 35 points. There's no way. If he does, he probably should have played game three. Right, to be honest, like if KD comes out tomorrow and he's the best player on the floor in the world and they win by 20, what were you doing? Should play game four, should play game three. So I don't think there's a chance.
I mean, that's how I felt about Klay's game four. Game four is slipping away and Klay is the only one who's playing well, the whole time I'm sitting there going, did they really have to rest him game three?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's what and so I don't think that's happening, but I do think they need like a lessened version, like maybe that Paul George that we saw that's hurt in the regular season where he was obviously injured and maybe couldn't shoot so great but could play defense and, you know, could put up enough buckets to relieve stress on Stephen Clay. Yeah, I think if they get that, they could absolutely win three in a row. I think absolutely.
The difference, of course, with those two injuries was Paul George's was his shooting shoulder, which is why he couldn't hit a shot, but his legs were fine. KD's
legs are not fine.
Yeah, it's a leg issue, so you wonder how the defense and kind of holding up against physical guys is going to do. But I'm not really worried about his ability to hit those patented mid-range shots repeatedly, whether he can or can't jump off the Cav.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. We got to go to the phones, though. We had John from San Francisco.
John, call back. Apologize. We'll go to you immediately when you call back.
Yeah, let's go to Steve in Oakland. He's got a – oh, no, he's not happy about that KD thing. All right, well, Steve, sir, how are you doing? What we got?
Steve, you there?
Steve, I'm a D, not a Steve.
Okay. All right, what you got for us?
So I did promise you guys I would call in. And to your point about it being about if KD can hit open shots, it's not that. It's can he move laterally and play defense and not get picked on in the pick and roll? Because honestly, in my opinion, on that quad injury or Achilles or whatever it may be, if he's getting put into the same situations as the DeMarcus Cousins, is he a better defender? Yes. But can he get in front of a Kawhi Leonard? Can he run out on a contest for a Fred VanVleet? I personally don't see it, and that's why I think they still may lose game five, to be honest with you.
You think they're a better team, though, with him up?
What's that?
You think they're a better team with him playing?
I mean, obviously.
Right now.
You know, as of right now, no, yeah. I don't. I think that he may, in fact, be a liability on the floor,
oof,
to be quite frank.
Oof.
It's no, that's no condemnation on KD. Like, I think that he's the best player in the world. I think that the team is driven by his, you know, presence on the team. It's just, I don't think he's ready to go. And I don't know if you guys saw that. They just posted a video of him shooting in an open gym somewhere in Canada. I don't know where they're shooting at, but
Winnipeg.
Edmonton.
Winnipeg,
thank you. right next to Justin Rowan. It looks like he's not even getting any lift on his shots. So if he's shooting flat-footed the entire time, that just makes him an easy target for, you know, a Danny Green to come up and send him into the third row. So do I want to see him out there? Will I be happy that he's out there? Absolutely. But I don't know if I see this being something that's a benefit for the team.
Yeah. Thank you, D.
We got to find out who that was. Hey, Justin Rowan shout out.
Yeah, well, we can't let him get a big ego. he does bring up a good point. I don't think you or I are worried about KD's ability to hit shots. How's he going to be able to move defensively with the
Have you seen Alphonso McKinney move defensively, Sam?
Yeah, so that's where I disagree with the caller. A banged-up KD is still an upgrade to the rotation over what they are forced to use. Like, it's not like they have, Paul George or Jimmy Butler sitting on the bench to just replace him. You know, the drop-off is large. But his point is fair. He may struggle more defensively than we're giving him credit to right now, and this is a very good Toronto team.
We have no idea. They never told us what his actual injury was, right, Sam? Like, we don't know if it's, like, a grade 2 or a grade 3. Definitely not a grade 1, because if it was, he'd be back by now. So we have no idea if it was 2 or 3. Maybe it's 3 and he's coming back way too early. We have no – it doesn't make any sense. They maybe should have said something. I don't know. Like, do you think they should have said something? Like, should have been more clear?
It's tough.
It feels unfair.
Because it feels unfair to KD.
It does.
That we don't know. But at the same time, it's also the playoffs. And you kind of – you don't want to tell your opponent, don't worry about – Kevin Durant playing this series, because they'll get all sorts of confidence. So there's a lot of this, you know, he could play next game to have a little intimidation factor and kind of keep your opponent guessing. I don't know. It's just it's a rough situation.
Yeah. Turns out injuries are not cool. They suck, turns out. All right, so let's keep going. We've got Robin from San Francisco. Robin, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
I am hella hot. And I'm glad you called so I can get off and turn my air conditioner back on. And this lady was just walking down the street with a coat on and made me get 5 degrees hot. Hey, guys, there's so much that I want to say, so I'm going to hone it in. First of all, people are always talking about 2015. We're not the same team as 2015. Our bench changed every year. I don't get it. If you look at the problem with the Warriors is our inconsistent defense and the way our roster is built, top heavy, it is not designed for any room for injury whatsoever. And you know, and I don't see how anybody didn't know that the whole year. And then second of all, so that means no one's scoring. We don't have any scoring. And then as my son calls it, the second unit of scrubs, they're just not ready yet. Okay, so that is the bottom line to that. And then the last thing I want to point out or ask you guys about, the national media, the Warrior fans are just as bad as some of these outside haters. The national media presents these scenarios, these narratives, and God, everybody's onto it. And here's the one I want to leave you with. I just love how LeBron has been interjected into this thing. Steph Curry played and get 47 points, and now he's like, now that's how he knows how LeBron feels. Now KD's coming back. Is this, you know, now it's KD, Stephen A. Now it's KD, so he can do what LeBron. LeBron is sitting at home watching like everybody else, trying to figure out what superstar he can get to play with him. I am so sick of people being sheep, and that's all I had to say. Peace out. I'm turning my air conditioner back on, guys.
Robin from San Francisco. Why are we talking about LeBron James?
We're not. We purposely made a point to not talk about him. And, well, here we are an hour into the show, and now we are.
Yeah, no, she makes a great point. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't thinking of him. At the playoff basketball right now, basketball that matters, does not have anything to do with LeBron James. Anything. Right? Nothing. And somehow, his name gets in the mouths of these whoever, people that are tweeting, covering the game, whatever it is, and all of a sudden it's all about him. Nothing to do with him. Talk about Kawhi Leonard, talk about Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, people that are going to play or have played, and that's what matters right now. So, yeah, that was pretty ridiculous, Sam. I'm sure you have a ton of takes to go, but
we don't need to go that way. But she does bring up a good point about the top heaviness of the roster. That's kind of always the trade-off you make. There's a salary cap. You kind of make determinations. Do you want to have a more balanced team? Kind of like the Spurs have done for the last decade, where kind of the highs of the roster are maybe not as high as some of these better teams, but the consistency across the roster gives them so many options. Or you can go all in with some star players. And that's what the Warriors have done, and it works.
You always go all in.
Yeah, but this is the downside of it. I don't know what else you want to say. A team isn't supposed to be able to lose a player of Kevin Durant's caliber and still win a championship.
Very, very simply put, beautifully put. I mean, that's it. That's it. You're not supposed to lose Kevin Durant and win a title. And the Warriors might have gotten it, but then they had to deal with everything else. Right, everything else that was with this team, the injuries, the fatigue, the age. It's a different NBA nowadays, and these teams are really good. Kawhi Leonard is really good, and they've got role players that are playing out of their mind. So, you know, they're stuck. We got 12 minutes. Sometimes I like look at the clock and can't tell if we have enough time or not. Oh, you want to do the legal ID, Sam?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KMG. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Is that like your work voice? Do you like do that in business meetings?
Absolutely.
Just demands respect when Sam Nisfendiari walks into a room. Respect, and you did an all-in, chips all-in analogy there. So shouts to Antonio. Right? Antonio on the mind.
If you want to join us, 888-957-9570, call in. We're trying to find out what you guys think. How much do the Warriors need from KD? Do they need him to play like the I'm Kevin Durant player who is scoring 35 a game?
I'm Kevin Durant. You know who I am.
Or do they just need someone who can produce at a little bit higher level than Alphonso McKinney and Jonas Derevko right now?
What do you think? Because I think they need something in the middle. What do you think?
I think they can get away with him having maybe one mediocre for his standards type of games, because just his presence alone will make it a little easier for Steph and Clay, and someone will get going. But in general, they need KD to be KD. To win three in a row, there's going to have to be at least one KD game.
Okay, so you think they need one where he's the best player
at minimum?
At minimum to win the series. Wow.
Need him. They need him out there, and let me put it, this is a better way to put it. They need him out there, and they need him to look physically like 80% of the way to what we know him to be as a player. Like, he needs to not be hobbled. He needs to not be a guy that the opposing team picks on. If he goes out there and they double team him, and that opens up the floor for Clay, hey, that's great. He's had impact, right?
Yeah, I think, what if he's like a, I'm trying to think of like a star level wing player in the NBA that's like not a superstar, not an MVP, but he's like solid. Like, I'm trying, like, I guess.
You mean like a Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a perennial
all-star.
That's
exactly who I had in mind. Right. But like a better shooting Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler can't really shoot that well.
Yeah. Jimmy's more of a guy who gets you 20 instead of 30 on a consistent basis.
So let's say they had that version. Like, of Kevin Durant. I think they can win.
So like,
I think you're talking about
KD at, like, 70%. Like,
yeah.
He's clearly hobbled, but, you know, healthy enough to be on the floor.
Yeah. I think with that, I think they're fine with that. I think it makes everything else for everyone else a lot easier. I think the defense is going to be easier. Draymond's going to get to play the five, which I don't think he's done much because they just can't. right? So I think it gets everyone into their right position, normalizes the offense, makes it so that it's easier for everyone else, even though they have two non-shooters on the floor, Draymond and Iguodala. And I think that that's good enough. That's good enough. I think the Toronto Raptors, while they've won three games, I don't think they've blown the doors off the Warriors. I think they've been the better team, right? But I don't think they've OKC'd this and won each some games by 20. I don't think that's happened.
They've been comfortably better, but it hasn't been a non-competitive game. Yeah. Game one, they won. The Warriors were in it, but they weren't fully in it. I don't know. They've had kind of it feels like they've been sitting on an 8-point lead in every game.
Every game.
Yeah, it's like at no point is it blown open, but at no point, or basically outside of game two, I don't really feel like the Warriors got it down to kind of a one-shot game.
Yeah. No, they keep making big shots. Van Vliet keeps making big shots. So I think that defense has been the problem too, but we'll get to that. I do want to kind of clear these phones out. So let's go to Jane Hayward. Wants to talk about Clay missing out on game three. Jay, how's it going?
Hey. Hello?
You're on. How's it going, bro?
You guys got me? Hey, guys, I've been enjoying the show, man. I thought I just want to chime in on a couple of things. So one thing you guys said earlier in the show, why didn't Clay play game three? I mean, that was a big mystery for me. Like, if it was game seven, he would have played. So why not throw him out there game three? It's the finals, every game counts. I think for the Warriors to really win, I mean, Steph and Clay have to both have big games at this point. It's only place we're getting points from. So it's like Steph has 45, game three, first game of Oracle in a long time. They're hyped to play. I know Clay would have been off pure adrenaline and would have been able to play and go and would at least gave us 25, 27. I think that would have got us over the hump for game three. And if we get one, I think we feel a lot better than you know, going down two at home. So I think game three was the one for us to get, and not playing Clay that game definitely hurt. I definitely think that Iguodala's got to step it up too. I feel like if we can get some production at Iguodala, we'll play a lot better. Then just want to touch on the point of you guys. If KD does come back, what do we need from him? What I say we just need from KD, I think a great analogy, a Paul George type play, you know, give us 15 points, 17, space the floor for us. I think that's the main thing of at least if he's against a wide open corner three.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.